Hello. Welcome to this first thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosserlookouat.roniezone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first thoughts of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast for An Apple Red as Blood. It is May 6th, and this was the first. Saweetie got teary-eyed at the end there.
That's not the first time I've gotten teary-eyed. I've cried before, but what hit me the hardest was the preview for the season finale.
Okay, all right. My name is Jeff Roni, and I'm joined by the lovely and little teary
Colleen Roni.
And this is the time where we get our first crack, or first thoughts, as you will, at the episode. Mm-hmm. And we just, we backed it up one section and rewatched it. But most of the time it was just watching it for the first time. So,
yes.
What were your initial reactions to it?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It really was an amazing episode.
It's starting to hit me that there's only one more now.
I know. So I don't like to think about that.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing episode. It really was.
So let's dig into it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I thought of was that the apple tree in the nightmare sequence was in the middle or the crossroads. And I had received an email from a nice person who told me about the tree in the middle of the street.
Yes.
Months ago.
Yes.
And I thought that was very interesting, and it kind of reminded me of the, like, a Russian film of kind of hyper reality of something. And I said, boy, it seems like a nightmare or some kind of really strange something.
Yeah.
And
I didn't know whose nightmare it was at first.
Okay.
I knew it was a nightmare because there was just too there was way too much unreality about it. And so I thought if it was, I knew it wasn't reality because I knew Emma wasn't that involved in the curse yet and believing the curse yet. So I knew it had to be somebody's, and I wasn't sure if it was hers. Or if it was, you know, somebody else's, and it turned out to be Regina's, so.
I was a little shocked at the turn of Emma. From, I'm taking you to, I'm not. So I guess it really got to her, the whole situation.
Well, I think the fact that Henry, as they're driving away, Henry, what did he do? He did something, I must have looked down or
swerved
something.
Swerved off the...
That's what it was. He grabbed the steering wheel?
Right.
Okay. So I knew he had done something to make her swerve off the road.
Right.
So that, to me, I think that scared her more than anything else. Because I think she realized that if she tries to do it, he's going to keep doing stuff like this, and it's going to eventually hurt one of them.
Right.
You know, and I think that's been her biggest fear from almost the get-go, is she doesn't want to hurt him.
I also noticed that there was an apple filled with blood, and when Emma squeezed it, blood came out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a movie that I think it was Willy Wonka that had candy apples. And when you cut into the apple, this caramel just kind of
It wasn't an
out.
Apple. That was like a berry off of, it was a big giant thing off okay. of a tree.
All right.
And when it, you hit, one of the kids, Mike TV, dropped yeah. it on the ground, and he stepped on it, and ooze yep. just came out of it. And it wasn't red. The mm-hmm. berry was red, but the ooze inside was kind of a, it was either pink or white. It yeah. was very...
But honestly, yeah. that's what I thought about. I said, man, that's what that reminds me of. So,
okay.
The next thing was the guillotine mm-hmm, scene mm-hmm. with Prince Charming. And the guillotine turned magically to water.
Right.
And that seems to me the trick of evil Queen Regina.
Right.
To stop the killing of Prince Charming, to move him over to her dungeon for her
revenge.
So
yeah,
I kept wondering for a half second. I said it's going to be Return of the Jedi. It's going to be that everyone has snuck in there.
Luke, I am your father.
No. That there were people stationed
yes.
around.
Yes.
That we're going to stage a coup mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and rescue him. Yeah. That's what I thought right before Regina came up. Mm. Because they did. There was a shot of the executioner.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I said,
yeah.
you can't see that person's face.
Right.
And I said, I wonder. And then they started to cut around to different people. And I went, oh, wait a minute. And then I was wrong again. There was a shot of, going back a little bit, of Henry standing at the top of the stairs with the rope.
Mm, yes.
I don't want to read too much into it, but the whole sequence reminded me of The Shining. It was this really
yeah.
strange lighting and things that you wouldn't, obviously a tree in the middle of the road is strange.
Right.
And a little boy with rope, you know, ready to whatever.
Lynch her. Yeah. Well, look, I thought they were going to string her up, but then I went, oh wait, no, that's not right. They don't lynch her up. They don't string her from the highest tree.
Okay. So anyway, then for the first time, the Queen Regina struck a deal with mm-hmm. one of the kings, except for, yeah, no, the first time.
I think it is, yeah.
She didn't need to.
No.
Work with anybody else.
Nope.
And I thought it was interesting that she just didn't use her power to just kind of snatch him. But I think she followed the realm idea, that was not her realm, so she needed to go to King George mm-hmm, and kind mm-hmm. of strike a bargain.
Strike a bargain,
say,
yeah.
look, I'll pay you more than you could have ever got from Midas over this whole marriage thing.
What's interesting about that, though, is that explains why George isn't at Snow and Charming's wedding.
Yeah, true. He got what he wanted.
He yeah. didn't care. Mm.
So another answered question.
That's my guess anyway.
That's a pretty good one though. Mm-hmm. The tree rotting.
Mm-hmm.
There, if you start to kind of look at motifs, there's a lot of different motifs in this show, obviously.
Right.
And the tree rotting, actually, Regina vocalized it.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my tree is dying, and that means the curse is weakening.
Right.
So she just basically turned to the camera and said, okay, guys, look, see this tree? It's not as strong and healthy as it was. It's dying like the curse. Got it? And then she just, you know, went yeah. on with her business. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw I didn't get a close look at everything in Mr. Goldshop. What's really, it's hard to write notes and try and watch this thing.
I'll tell you something. Tonight, I honestly started to write notes and I gave up because yeah. it was too intense
yep.
and everything was moving too fast and I didn't want to stop and pause. But it was so intense that I think that it's ingrained in,
right.
in what happened. So that's why I stopped, because you're right. I mean, everything was just so fast paced.
The Gold Regina scene
mm-hmm.
is just packed with stuff.
Oh yeah.
So we're about ready to roll through it. I did see a golden harp.
Yes.
In Mr. Gold Shop, and that I think there is some Aesop's fable or something. There's some kind of story of the golden harp. So.
Well, typically a little golden harp was associated with like Cupid and stuff. So, okay. I mean, Cupid had a golden harp, but
so
then
we already,
there are little cherubs and things right. like that. So, it's not, and then, you know, the other thing is actually Jack and the Beanstalk. reminds me of the harp, as or the harp reminds me of Jack and the Beanstalk, I should say, because the harp, the golden harp, is what was played to lull the giant to sleep so the beanstalk could be,
Very interesting.
So that's just one thing, but I don't know if it's, you know, necessarily that golden harp, because that was kind of too small. It was almost a lyre, but anyway.
So there was discussion about giving up Henry to keep the curse unbroken. And then the big bombshell was, if Emma dies, the curse is broken.
Right.
So it's almost like a catch-22.
Yep, yep.
And it is a bit like a chess game or something like that, where everybody thinks they're going to win, but it could flip pretty quick.
Well, sure. One wrong move.
And Regina said, "You designed this curse this way." I love Regina. You know, evil Regals love you to death. But the evil queen has gotten duped so many times by so many different curses.
Yep.
I mean, she needs some type of an assistant
to keep track of the curses.
To say, look, no, wait, wait, wait. The last time you trusted him or her or that or whatever, it's you better look again.
Yeah.
Say, really? Yeah, really. You know, so, but I just, that's amazing. So, Mr. Gold said there's not a lot of magic and there's not that much left.
Right. There's not that much left.
Right.
So there is magic, but not that much left. Yep. And it's not that there's magic there. It's that things that they've brought with them have magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Interesting.
So, and then he said, when they wake up, and again, that term came back up, Italian or something. They said they'll be looking for blood, and I thought of the apple.
Yep.
And then, for some reason, he spun the globe, and I thought of that, either the hat or traveling around the world. I don't know.
Well, he's got an awful lot of globes in his shop. There's like three or four of them.
She spun it, and then she spun it again.
Somebody else spun it.
Yeah. It happened twice, so two people or two different.
She spun it.
So she left the white rabbit card on Paige/Grace's bike.
Yes.
And so what's interesting is she gets involved in this little kind of covert messaging.
This is
leaving things or taking things or whatever.
Yeah, because her normal minion, Sydney, he's jailed right now.
Right.
So. Okay.
Fair enough. So Emma again said, I don't want this. I don't want this.
Right.
So, and then probably another one of my favorite moments was Mary Margaret, the mom, really, really scolding Emma, the daughter.
Oh, yeah.
She said, so now you abduct your son?
Yeah.
Really? And you think that that's going to get you custody? So it was very interesting. I mean, she basically said, just, you need to grow up.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought, too. It was very much like a teenager being scolded for making a bad choice, going out, hanging out with some friends who got caught for doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some bad choice. And she's basically saying, look, grow up.
And another of the phrases that's been used before is Mary Margaret said to Emma, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the same phrase that Gold said to Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you're pretty smart. You figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So the couple of Star Wars things.
Yes.
Granny said it's a trap.
Yeah.
It's Return of the Jedi. And then Evil Queen Regina said, leave us. That's the Emperor. Now, big question is, it's been discussed in other places by different people, is I'm wondering if that cave is the same as the rump cell, and for sure it's the one where Leroy was, and now Prince Charming.
You're talking about the jail cell.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, for sure we know it's where Snow White was.
Right. I don't think it's the Rumpel Cave. I think it's a different one.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Again, I just want to kind of ask. I mean,
it just looked different to me. And maybe it is, but maybe they, you know, fixed it so that they could keep him there. But I don't think so. I honestly think that was a different location.
So the outside, there is a shot outside of Regina's house. And it looked very much like it was very hyper-colorized. And so when Jefferson showed up, it was kind of like, well, we kind of knew he was coming because the yard outside looked like Wonderland to me.
It's really interesting.
The greens are green and the purples are purple. And it just really looked
Wonderland-ish.
Really colorized.
Do you know what's interesting to me is now that raises the question, okay, well, where did he go? When he disappeared and he fell out of the window, what happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see how they explain that away, because they will at some point, I'm hoping.
So, and again, we have this great, there was so much exposition tonight. It was just so much, just on and on and on. So you can tell, I mean, you know, non-Lost watchers just kind of tune me out for a second.
Mm-hmm.
This is so Lost, though.
Oh,
coming
completely.
Into the last couple of episodes, especially these last two, they're just throwing information at us. Here. All these questions that we've had.
Oh, yeah.
Now, for instance, just the exchange between Jefferson and Regina. Regina changed the names from Fairytale Land to Storybrooke.
Yeah, she did.
I don't know if there's a list, but for sure... she changed the names, because Jefferson said, you changed my daughter's name from Grace to Paige.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When she made the comment of when she brought him here, when I, you know, 28 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing.
Yep. And then she said, if I'm dead, you'll never get back to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if sometimes these things aren't lies.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
He has... power to do it, and now, well, I mean, as things progress, we learn that now the hat won't work at all, ever.
Right.
Although it did, if we believe what we saw, that he fell through it. So Emma does have magic.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. So. You see, that's the thing. If we think he fell through it, but if he did, then he would have ended up somewhere else. How did he get here? So there's got to be some other explanation.
If he didn't fall
it.
Through the hat, he should have been wearing a full-blown cast hobbling in there.
Well, but remember, he's been beheaded, so he's kind of technically undead, right. Don't you think? Just saying.
Okay. So, he was saying that a mansion in Storybrooke is not as good as a hovel in the Fairytale Land.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of a classic statement of, you know, palatial luxury by myself. Is nothing without my family. And she mentioned that too.
Right.
She was all about family.
Right.
I need to get my family back and put together.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'll wake up Grace.
Hmm.
So.
So they do have somewhat of a sleep thing on them.
Yep.
Hmm.
So then Jefferson said, remembering is the worst curse.
Yes.
I want to write a new story. And that kind of mirrors what August was saying.
Right.
That's why he didn't put the end of the story in.
Right.
Because he wanted a new one.
Right.
And I think that's kind of all of us, really.
Sure.
You know, people say, you're never going to be anything good. And you go, yes, I will. And so, you know, you try and rewrite your own story. So, and then we have the most incredible sequence I have ever seen on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say things that sound funny, but I'm not making fun. It seemed like it was Batman. You know, we have Team 7, go Team 7.
Woohoo.
And we had Granny.
And Red.
And we had Snow. And we had Red.
Which I thought was hilarious when Grumpy goes, you have someone on your chin.
Right.
I just thought that was kind of gross, but a funny line at the same time.
But they, you know, shot the batarangs up there and did crawled up the side of the building. You know, I mean, look, I'm old and some of you youngins out there don't remember Batman, but I mean, they would crawl up the side of the building and somebody would open a window.
Oh,
hey,
yeah, lean
Batman.
Out. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thought it would be kind of funny if somebody opened a window to throw trash out or something like, hey, dwarves, like, hey. We weren't here. Don't worry. So anyway, that's a funny bit. Anyway,
it was a very funny bit.
So they got up on the top, and Snow just turned badass, knife throwing,
sword wielding.
Oh man,
just taking dudes down.
Yeah,
and it was awesome.
And it seemed a lot like, you know, the early good parts of the Star Wars prequels, with just badass Jedis just rolling.
Oh, you know, dude, there were so many moves that were
slashing.
Yeah.
You know, and the dwarves just jumping off of people, and it was, and there was a Matrix thing, and
there was a total Matrix of Snow Matrix underneath some guy.
Incredible action going
on.
Dude,
it was pretty awesome.
There
was
pretty epic. There was a scene where Lee Grumpy hit somebody with a pickaxe.
Oh yeah.
And you don't see kind of what happened, but you see the aftermath. And it was just so cool. All this stuff's going
look
on.
In his face like, ha, I got him. It was great.
But then it was almost like, it seemed like it was magic. I mean, they didn't show anybody get killed, all the guards down in the lower area.
Yeah.
But they were just taking everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they all stood up and more came up. So it reminded me a bit of Braveheart.
Yeah.
And you think you've got everything taken care of, and then more show up, and they've been waiting this whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we see our favorite Blue Fairy.
Yep.
And Nova.
Yep.
And this Yellow Fairy that, I mean, Yellow was the fairy godmother color.
It was a gold. Yeah,
but we had all these fairies coming with just these fairy bombs and sleeping
pink
something.
Fairies, blue fairies, green fairies, yep. You name it, they were there. It was pretty awesome.
So that's the answer to the question.
They reminded me of little bees buzzing with their wings, just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
You know, I don't know what preparation they made before the Dark Curse, but, you know, maybe they said, you know, in the future, we're going to... Well, no, this is before the Dark Curse.
This is before the Dark Curse.
So maybe this is one of those times where, you know... Okay, we need a fairy home meeting here. We're going to get together. Let's kind of talk about this. So, yeah. And then, you know, my boy August, we had a Pinocchio.
Yes.
We had a little talk, him and Henry.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was almost like the mantle, some people call it torch, passed from August to Henry. You know, and Henry even said, you know, you're giving up too. Everybody's giving up.
Yeah.
And then later on, that's how he talks to Emma.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, this is the hero's point, where the low point, right before they come back, you know, don't stop.
Right.
And so.
Yeah, no. And that was really cool that August showed him. The sad part is that, you know, it's not just his legs now. It's
right.
Now his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it just broke my heart when he said, and pretty soon it's hard for me to ride a bike, to sit up. Pretty soon it's going to be hard for me to breathe. And I went, I don't even want to think about that, because it's just traumatic, because I like August. I think he's a really cool dude. So I think, yeah, that was kind of a tough part. And but I think it was really cool that Henry saw it and goes, oh my gosh, it's wood. And he's like, you're Pinocchio. And he's like, see, you're a smart kid. And he goes, but, you know, since I don't have much time left, I want to spend it with my father. And he goes, Marco. He goes, see, you are a smart kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's an interesting thing. We'll see how that kind of plays itself out. I'm very curious to see how that plays out. But, yeah. Henry's never doubted for a second, and now he knows he has to go get Emma to believe.
So when I'm glad he saw it, because now we know it's,
and I knew he would believe, because he absolutely believes. I knew he would see it.
Yeah. So I was thinking of something, but now it slipped my mind. So we'll move forward. The scene in the cell where Prince Charming was with the magical mirror.
Yeah.
And people that didn't watch Lost, just tune me out for a second here. It reminded me of when Jack was in that cell with the glass wall.
Oh, right.
And where Kate came up and touched the glass and all that. And Juliet was, you know,
yes.
in the back there. So that's what it reminded me of. Okay, non-Lost watchers, you can come back now. So, but yeah, it was kind of a cool trick, and I figured that Regina was not too far from there, and then she kind of, you know, let's meet outside of school. You know, I'll meet you after school in the field. You know, where that
began.
Thing, yeah, right.
Where it all began. So. It wasn't the field, it was the state.
I know, but yeah. I mean, it was just like...
No, I know what you're saying.
Two
but
kids,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was like two kids behind the school.
Right. So we see the war council room and table again.
Mm-hmm.
And Snow White had more knives than John Locke and Mr. Gold and, you know, the guy on the Lucy show, you know, throwing the knives at the thing. It was amazing. You know, it was like one of those comedy movies, you know, like a Naked Gun or something where, you know, it's like, okay, put all your guns on the table, you know, and an hour later he's still
pulling guns out
and, you know, just funny. So,
yeah, I don't know where she was hiding some of those things.
I'm see, there's another comedy bit, you know, so, but, you know, no.
She has magical pockets.
I understand. All right. So, and we know at least one person is jotting down a lot of notes for email. So
yeah.
Okay. So I believe the room where Jefferson and Regina were was under her house.
See, and that's the thing. We don't know where that is. It seemed like to me that it was the tomb where her father was, but we don't know. We didn't see them go there. We just saw them coming down the steps, but it reminded me very much of the anteroom before she showed the heart vault, before she pulled Graham's heart out of the vault.
I gingerly and nicely disagree.
Okay, well, you're welcome to do that. I'm not saying that it is that. I'm just saying that's what it reminded me of, and I would not be surprised if that ends up being what it is.
People kind of take this right here and they go, well, Jeff doesn't let Colleen speak and Jeff doesn't appreciate what she... I do. I just disagree.
And you're free to do that.
Under her house.
Free to do that. And I'm sure we will figure out.
Yeah.
I'm sure between us and the deputies, we'll figure out if that was in fact Regina's house or if it was the place where the heart vault is.
Yeah, I think we're all gonna have a tough point because there was nothing that I could really see.
I actually
there was
saw
a connection thing.
I do.
Okay.
We'll have to go back and watch that episode.
All right. Anyway. Daniel's ring looked like a mirror or something.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
It was like
I've
a hologram
never seen,
of him.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that with something like that.
No, so. It was really cool. And it was kind of almost like the trick she did with, you know, putting herself in the mirror. So that doesn't surprise me.
You know, and I wrote this down. No magic, eh? And, you know... Whenever they say there's no or this or something, there's always a little bit somewhere. There's a, you okay?
I'm fine.
All right. She's moving away from the mic and I didn't know. So
for just a second.
Anyhow, the word failed was said a lot tonight.
Yeah.
I failed.
Yeah.
You failed.
Mm-hmm.
Failed. And Jefferson said, guide the hat. So.
Yes, he did.
And Bailey Madison was spot on. The more I watch Jennifer Goodwin, the more I say Bailey Madison just was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's funny when I watch Jennifer now as Snow White, I see Bailey's mannerisms. So it's like, well, she's copying Bailey. No, Bailey's copying her, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, it is really good.
So Regina said that apples represent health and wisdom.
Yes.
So there's probably all kinds of apple a day keeps the doctor away, you know, and then the apple dropped on Newton's head, you know, I don't know. So.
Yes. Well, and if we're going to go where apples are significant in history, the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And Regina said your body will be a tomb.
Yes.
So,
and you'll be there to live with your regrets. Mm-hmm. And anyway, what I thought was interesting about that scene, too, was the grave and the fact that Snow genuinely did not know what had happened. Because, again, Regina lied to her and said he ran away.
Right.
You know, and the worst part of this is if she had just told her and she says, I was trying to spare your feelings. It's like, are you kidding me? You think she did something terrible and you'd spare her feelings? That was your call on that? I mean, I know she was, but then, you know, and the whole point was, well, because she was a little girl. She was, you know, just 12 years old. So then why are you trying to kill her again? Make her miserable? Right. It's just all very warped and crazy, but...
Then we saw a new TV hostess, Regina Stewart. I was smiling because, again, that was so... It is interesting now that some of her minions are in jail, at least one of them, that she has to do more things by herself. You know, so she's in there cutting up the apple.
Right.
You know, mixing everything up and, you know, so... Apple that she grew in her garden. Right, so it's very Martha Stewart. And
well, she even referred to it as her forbidden fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So then we have the end section where Henry is pleading with her and to stay and discussion about the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, don't eat that. Regina made a little turnover out of the rest of the apple, which she retrieved through a portal that the hat created.
Right.
For the apple to fall through. Of which, and we totally missed this, is Snow White ate the apple.
Right.
As the story goes. And, you know.
She fell asleep.
So,
but she wasn't breathing.
Right.
Which is the story.
Yes. So, and it was really cool to see Faustino say, I think she's just sleeping. you know, Sleepy would know.
Sleepy would know, yeah.
He looked down, yeah, sleeping.
And then I wasn't sure what Red was going to do with the dagger.
I know.
I was like, whoa, what is she doing?
What are you doing? It was really neat to see Mig up front tonight.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And, so Mig and Jeffrey quite a bit, actually. Yeah. That was really cool.
And Happy got some.
He did.
Got some screen time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They all did.
Well, and Doc, there was a cool move that Doc made, too.
Oh, yeah.
Down in the courtyard there.
Yeah.
So, yep. Team 7 came out swinging tonight.
Team 7 kicks ass. Big time.
That's true. Well, so did Snow.
Oh, dude.
So
She was ninja. She was full ninja. It was awesome.
And, you know... Regina and the Evil Queen had a lot of costumes tonight.
She did. She had some beautiful costumes.
Yes, indeed.
Unbelievably gorgeous costumes.
Yes, indeed. All righty. So they discovered Snow there asleep, and then that was that. Was there anything? I don't think we missed that much else.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Well, that's why I have you here.
Excellent. Yeah. So Regina watching the whole thing in her mirror.
Right.
And then Charming. Charming went ballistic. I was pretty proud of him for that because I wasn't sure, you know, I wasn't sure how he was going to react.
Yep.
But that was a Charming I can get behind because that was a good, solid, strong, totally madly in love Charming. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. It's completely awesome. And anyway, that was pretty awesome. And then, of course, the final scene where Henry and Em are in the apartment talking.
Right.
And he hugs her so hard. Oh, my gosh. I thought my heart was going to break because she was so emotional about the whole thing. And she knew that the best thing to do was to say, you know, I gotta step back. But before we get into that, the whole exchange between Regina and Emma... After the turnover was in the oven baking.
Right.
That whole thing was very... There were a couple points where Emma had that look on her face. Like, I don't trust you, lady.
Mm-hmm.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to smile sweetly and pretend, but I don't trust you. So then when, you know, Henry comes over and they're talking, you know... And he sees the turnover. He's like, where'd you get that? You know, Regina, your mom gave it to me. Don't eat it. It's poison.
Right.
She's like, no, it's not Henry, blah, blah, blah. And then he takes the bite. I mean, I kind of knew that's what he was going to do. And you want to talk about a sacrifice? That was a major sacrifice right there. But well, again, he did that because he knew that if he could point out to her and prove to her that it was poison, she would maybe believe in the curse.
And going back to what Mr. Gold said when Regina's like one of those, she's kind of like one of those kids that does something bad and doesn't keep it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of smugly goes into Mr. Gold, guess what? I made magic. Ha ha ha. You know, it's like, wait a minute. How did you make magic? There's no magic here. Well, I found a way. He goes, well, if you did, it's going to cost you. Oh.
And yeah, when he said that, all magic mm-hmm. comes with a price. Right. And he was right. He was absolutely right.
Yep. So, you know, Regina needs an assistant, number one. Number two, she needs to just keep her mouth shut.
Well, she has an assistant. He's in jail.
I understand that. But she needs to just keep her little secrets to herself.
But see, she thinks Gold's in on this with her. That's why she's talking to him. She thinks she's got a nice little cushy deal going with him. Mm-hmm. And that's why she tried to strike a new deal.
She canceled your travel insurance. Come on, girl.
I thought that was interesting. But hey, why was he wanting to travel? He's going to look for Balefire.
Oh, right.
Yep. He wants to go. Balefire is not in Storybrooke. He wants to go look for him. Yep. He knows he's somewhere in the world. He's got to go figure out where he is.
Yep.
So he's going to go look for Balefire.
All right. That's it. I don't think there's any more else that we want to talk about.
No, not unless we want to discuss anything we saw in the previews. I don't think so. I think we want to keep that. I don't know. It's up to you. It's there. It's on the preview.
It's one more. We only have one more episode left.
I know.
And I would recommend that you tune in to the live show Saturday coming up.
Yes.
Right before the finale. We are doing our best to cook up some really cool surprises. So the bag has some, but I'm hoping the bag will have more. So we'll pull them out for the live show. So.
Yep.
Anyhow, have a great week. We send big love out to everybody. Take care, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.